This is Sound Effect from 88.5. I'm Gabriel Spitzer, and our theme today is blood ties. We're going to hear two stories now of people wrestling with what blood ties really are, and who are the people we consider family. We start at the Hebald Cultural Center near Marysville.
Yashta is my Indian name. Lois Landgrebe is my English name.
Lois is a Tulalip tribal member who, for 23 years, has taught a language called Lushootseed.
One of my favorite is the word for frog, and that is wuk wuk. The word for bird is ch'ich'alkub. And another one is eagle. It sounds like wings on air. Yahuwala.
Lushootseed is endangered. Lois says maybe 55 people speak her dialect fluently. And as you can probably guess, it's not an easy language to just pick up. Especially when, like Lois, you were 25 years old and starting from scratch. That's because Lois did not start out on a path toward becoming a tribal culture bearer. Instead, her life has taken a series of unexpected turns, starting with when she was just minutes old.
I was relinquished at birth. My birth mother held me for 5 minutes, and she gave me up. I was in foster care for almost a year, and I was adopted by a white family, and they adopted both me and my brother. So we're not blood siblings, but we look at each other as we're practically like blood. My adopted mother, she had had miscarriages and stillborn, so that's why they adopted. She had a miracle baby, and it was my sister. So just before she was born, the neighborhood kids informed us that they're going to give us back, that they're going to give us up because they now have their own child. And we didn't know that we were adopted. We did not figure anything out any differently. It's really funny because my dad and mom would get pink and sunburned in the summer. And my brother and I would get dark brown. It never occurred to us. We just figured that's the way it was.
How old were you when those neighborhood kids were telling you that you were going to be given back?
6 years old. 6 and 7. So my brother and I decided we're going to be the best children ever. They can't give us back. So we devised a plan to just behave ourselves. And we messed up like children do. And we broke down and started crying. We sobbed uncontrollably for like 5 minutes. Don't give us away. We want to stay. They really had to sit with us and explain that, yes, we're sorry you found out this way, and that we went out and seeked you out. We picked, you know, we could have picked any children, any babies, any, but we saw you two, and that's who we wanted, and we're not giving you back.
So you learned at that time, though, that you were Native. You didn't know any more than that. What was your relationship like to your nativeness?
There was basically just the romance stereotype attachment. Basically, I loved getting my hair braided. And, of course, I had my dad make a strap deal where I could put a doll on my back. So I was really excited about that. And when we had Native Month, we made drums out of oatmeal containers, like Quaker oatmeal. When I was 11, my adopted mother passed away of stomach cancer. So that was just a trauma that we couldn't quite get over. My dad remarried 8 months later to my stepmother, and she was totally different. She didn't like us, which really traumatized my brother and I more. I ended up being a runaway, 13 to 16 years old. And my brother left after I turned 13. I ended up graduating high school And my brother had found this organization called WARM, Washington Adoptees Right Movement Organization. And he got a case opened, and he wanted to seek out his birth mother. And he got the information, you know, they found her, and, you know, we were all excited for him, a little nervous too. And she turned him down. So, and she didn't want to meet him. So he kind of sat me down and said, look for your mom. And I was like, just devastated for him. It just broke me a little. And I said, I don't think I could handle being rejected. And so I decided not to. About that time, my boyfriend and I, when we got married, and I had my first child, I was devastated a little bit because losing my mom came back when I became a mom. So I went through a little bit of depression. And after the birth of my son, a minister of the Lutheran Church I went to a few times came knocking at my door. And he said, Lois, you know, your family's looking for you. I said, what? I'm like sitting there going, they know where I'm at. And the minister, the pastor said, we got a call from your aunt and uncle. Were you adopted? And I literally had to grab a counter and sit down. And I said, yes, I am. So that's when I spoke to my mom on the phone for the first time. We were both just so excited to hear each other. But when it came to the actual physical meeting, it was just before Thanksgiving. She got there an evening early, and it was snowing. I mean, it was like there's already been about almost a foot of snow in Wenatchee. And I had to push our son's stroller through the snow to get to the motel because we didn't have a car. And got there to the door, and I absolutely could not knock. It was like almost like 10 degrees out. And my husband's looking at me, Jeff, and he goes, you know, are you going to knock? And I said, no, I can't. I'm about to meet her. And then he just, oh, for goodness, and he knocks. We're going to freeze. And she's inside with her husband, Arnie. And they heard the knock. And Arnie looks over at her and says, well, you going to get it? She froze and she goes, no, what if it's her? And Arnie goes, oh my goodness, we got to let him in. Went over and opened the door. I saw a short lady with dark hair and a face just like mine. And I stepped in and she saw me for a few seconds. And she stepped back and lowered her head because she didn't know what I was going to do. I saw that gesture and I thought, oh, she's had it hard just like me. You know, and I just stepped forward and put my arms around her, and she just melted into my shoulders, and we both just cried. It was a void that I think I say that God or the Great Spirit had made just for, you know, our relationship to become what it became. I think I had to have that loss of one mom just to make room for Carol McKay Henry to step into my life and make it easier.
You've had so many different experiences with family, with adopted family, with a stepmother, with an adopted brother, with half-brothers and blood mothers and everything. What has this taught you about the nature of family and the nature of blood relations?
I think that it's taught me to forgive. It's taught me to accept. What's that famous serenity prayer? The knowledge to change what I can and accept what I can't. I first heard about that when I became a mother, so That's all 30 years of learning of what that really means.
Chad, ho.